Good morning, church. You know, many years ago in the church that I grew up in, my pastor told us an amusing story. He had gotten out of the shower, and, you know, as we often do, we clean our ears after we get done with the shower. You know, you get one of those Q-tips. And for some reason, he got distracted. The doorbell rang, something happened, and he left it in there and walked around. And then a short time later, he felt something in his ear, so he did what we all kind of naturally do, like this, right? And he almost dropped himself down to his knees. And we thought, ah, ha, ha, that's a very amusing story. Well, let me tell you what happened to me this morning. I'm warming up some food in the microwave, and I'm holding David in my hands. And I can't get the food and hold David safely, so I decide to go get his little chair. So I slide it in the kitchen, put him down. And I turned to face the microwave, and I dropped to my knees almost because I had left the door open, and I hit myself on the side of the head next to my temple. And I thought, when that pastor told that story years ago, I thought, ah, that'll never happen to me. It happened to me this morning, so. I'm a little tender here on the side of my head, but nevertheless, I'm happy, and I got joy this morning. So let's stand as we open up in prayer. Father, we thank you for today that we can meet together. We have songs to sing. We got joy in our hearts. And Father, once again, as we're going to open up this worship service, we just ask that you would just meet us here with your Holy Spirit once again, that we would just have a powerful and awesome time of praise and worship and just giving you glory this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. of praise into the house of the Lord. And we offer unto you the sacrifices of thanksgiving. And we offer unto you the sacrifices of joy. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. And we offer unto you the sacrifices of thanksgiving. And we offer unto you the sacrifices of joy. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. And we offer unto you the sacrifices of thanksgiving. And we offer unto you the sacrifices of joy.
Amen.
We have a happy tambourinist this morning.
Thank you, Jesus.
This is my commandment, that you love one another, that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another, that your joy may be full. That your joy may be full. That your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another, that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another, that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another, that your joy may be full. That your joy may be full. That your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another, that your joy may be full.
Hallelujah.
You know, it's difficult to sneeze and sing at the same time. But did you hear Yuri? He played solidly the whole time and he sneezed. Cough, sneeze. I thought it was Joanne for a second at first, and I thought, she's still singing. That's pretty good. Then I heard it again, and she wasn't even moving this time.
I told him I breathe when I'm singing, and he couldn't believe that either.
All right. This is your commandment, that you love one another, that your joy may be full. And if you got some joy, share it with each other this morning.
Amen.
Thank you. This is my commandment, that you love one another, that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another, that your joy may be full. That your joy may be full. That your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another, that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another, that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another, that your joy may be full. That your joy may be full. That your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another, that your joy may be full.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Silent to call out your name. The earth has no voice, and I have no choice but to magnify God unashamed. Let the rocks be kept silent for one more day. Let the whole world sing out, let the people say, Almighty, most holy God, faithful through the ages. Almighty, most holy Lord, glorious Almighty God. Well, time marches on, with innocence gone, then the darkness has covered the earth. But a spirit still dwells, he speaks it as well, and the hopeless still offer new birth. He will break the leash of death, it will have no sting. Let the prisoner go free, join the dance and sing. Almighty, most holy God, faithful through the ages. Almighty, most holy Lord, glorious Almighty God. Almighty, most holy God, faithful through the ages. Almighty, most holy Lord, glorious Almighty God.
Amen.
That's an attribute of God, that he is holy. You know, as Andrew is progressing, he asks me more and more questions as we read the Bible stories of why did Adam and Eve get in trouble? Why did Moses not get to enter the promised land? Why did, you know, this and that? And it keeps coming back to people were disobedient. They were disobedient. God set a standard. He said, this is the standard I expect you to follow. Why? Because he's a holy God. Right? He is almighty.
Amen.
Our Lord God, thou hast made the heavens and the earth, absolutely nothing. Nothing is too difficult for thee. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve. Ah, Lord God, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thy great power. Ah, Lord God, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thine outstretched arm. Nothing is too difficult for thee. Nothing is too difficult for thee. Great and mighty God, great in counsel and mighty indeed, mighty indeed. Nothing, nothing, absolutely nothing, nothing is too difficult for thee.
Hallelujah.
When he rolls up his sleeves, the angels putting on the Ritz. Our God is an awesome God. There's thunder in his footsteps and lightning in his fist. Our God is an awesome God. Well, the Lord wasn't joking when he kicked him out of Eden. It wasn't for no reason that he shed his blood. His return is very close, so you better be believing that our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above. Starless in the void of the night, our God is an awesome God. He spoke into the darkness and created the light. Our God is an awesome God. Well, judgment and wrath he poured out on Sodom. Mercy and grace he gave us at the cross. I hope that we have not too quickly forgotten that our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God.
Hallelujah.
You look at that picture there. We live on the earth. Very few people actually get to see that. Some astronauts get to see that. But there's an entire universe out there like that of things, self-contained planets and units.
Amen.
With little individual things on that. Our God is indeed an awesome God.
Amen.
And he cares enough to be involved in our lives, right? Our individual lives. God is good indeed.
shall return and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their heads.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
You'll find that in Isaiah 51:11.
Have come into this house and gathered in your name. worship you. We have come into this house and gathered in your name to worship you. We have come into this house and gathered in your name to worship Christ alone. Worship you, Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
That is what we're doing here this morning.
There shall be showers of blessing. This is the promise of love. There shall be seasons refreshing, sent from the Savior above. Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessing, precious reviving again. Over the hills and the valleys, sound of abundance of rain. Showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessing, send them upon us, O Lord. Grant to us now a refreshing, come and now honor thy word. Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops from us are falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessing, oh that today they might fall. Now as to God we're confessing, now as on Jesus we call. Showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops from us are falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessing, if we but trust and obey. There shall be seasons refreshing, if we let God have His way. Showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops from us are falling, but for the showers we plead.
Amen.
You know, God, He has a specific way of how He likes to do it. Many times His way is not our way, right? That's why He said, for my ways are not your ways, and my thoughts are not your thoughts.
Amen.
You know, I was thinking about this, that Moses died. Joshua took over leadership, and they went up to the Jordan River. And everybody who remembered, well, I'm sure there were some children who remembered the crossing of the Red Sea, but it was a faint memory probably after 40 years. And then God recreated it. He split the Jordan. And He said, you're going to go in and you're going to take the city of Jericho. And they thought it was going to be a military conquest, you know, you just grinding away, you know, each side grinding away at each other, just fighting, lots of people dying. But God said, no, you're going to sit down, you're going to prepare some leavened cakes, you're going to have a Passover feast, and you're going to prepare yourselves. And the people didn't really understand that, if you read through it. They didn't understand that God was going to do something. He had a plan, and it wasn't what they thought it was going to be. Yeah, there would be fighting later on, but not in the kind that they wanted. And they marched once, and then they went home. And can you imagine what they must have thought about, let alone the people inside of Jericho? What kind of, you know, fight is this? 6 days they do that. March once, and they go home. On the seventh day, they march seven times around, and Joshua just said, shout. Shout, for the Lord has given you the city. Someday we'll be able to see that, right?
Amen.
On heaven's camera. But they must have just lifted up their voices. And, you know, God did an earthquake there. But, you know, it must have just sounded awesome. Just, you know, ah, everybody just screaming at the top of their lungs. And they still didn't really understand what was happening until they saw God moving. And then they began to see his full plan right then and there. There shall be showers of blessing, in verse 5 here. If we but trust and obey, there shall be seasons refreshing if we let God have his way. Soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's life for a look at the Savior, and life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and rays. Through death into life everlasting, he passed and we follow him there. Over us sin no more has dominion, for more than conquerors we are. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. His word shall not fail you, he promised. Believe him and all will be well. Then go to a world that is dying, his perfect salvation to tell. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.
Thank you, Lord.
Upon your loveliness, when
become shadows in the light of you. When I find the joy of reaching your heart, when my will becomes enthralled in your love, when all things that surround become shadows in the light of you, I worship you. sing out a song. I sing out a love song to Jesus. In moments like these, I lift up my hands. I lift up my hands to the
Have it thy way, Lord. Have it thy way. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And we want to thank you, Lord, and praise you, that you are in control. There's no crisis in heaven. And it's exciting, O Lord, to come before your presence with singing. And enter your gates with thanksgiving and into your courts with praise. It's exciting to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. And serve the Lord with gladness. Hallelujah. 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 Let the high praises of God in our mouth and the two-edged sword in our hands. Hallelujah. Let us offer the sacrifices of praise to God continually. The fruit of our lips giving thanks. The fruit of our lips giving thanks unto His name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto His name, O Thou Most High. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. To show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. Hallelujah. For your compassions fail not, they new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness, O Lord our God. Great is thy faithfulness. And we want to thank you today, O Lord, for what we have in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. And we thank you, Lord, for Jesus Christ our Lord, who came to seek and save that which was lost. He did not come to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise his holy name. Praise his holy name. The thief comes not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. But Jesus came to give us life and give it to us more abundantly. To give us more abundantly. For the Lord is our shepherd, and we shall not want. We shall not want. Hallelujah. When he arose, he spoiled principalities and powers. He made a show over them openly, triumphing over them at the cross. Hallelujah. That's who Jesus is. For he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. Yes, he is the healer of our bodies and the savior of our souls. He is the Holy Ghost baptizer. Everybody ought to know. That's who Jesus is. Hallelujah. He's the mighty King, the Master of everything. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He's the everlasting Father. He's the Prince of Peace. He's the Lily of the Valley. He's the bright and the morning star, the fairest of 10,000. Hallelujah. He's the Champion of the Calvary. He's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. And God high exalted him, and he gave him a name that is above every name, that in the name of Jesus every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Oh, we bless you and thank you, Heavenly Father. And we have a reason to be excited. We have a reason to celebrate. We have a reason to rejoice in the Lord. Hallelujah. And rejoice in the Lord always. Oh, clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto the Lord with a voice of triumph. Hallelujah. Sing praises unto the Lord. Sing praises. Sing praises unto our King. Sing praises. For the Lord is King over all the earth. Let us sing praises unto him with understanding. Hallelujah. That's who Jesus is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we want today to celebrate. Jesus celebrate. Hallelujah. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for being with us today. We thank you for, O Lord, that we can sing praises unto you and we can make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Oh, hallelujah, and praise your holy name. Oh, praise you. We love you, Lord. We appreciate you. And we thank you for having the opportunity and the privilege to worship you in spirit and in truth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Move in the midst of us. Continue, Lord, we pray. Give the anointing upon the pastors. He will deliver the message to us. Oh, give him the freedom to preach and let the word come out with power and pierce us like a two-edged sword. Thank you, Heavenly Father. We praise you. We love you, Lord. We exalt you. We pray, O Lord, that you anoint Thomas as he gives the invitation. Anoint everyone that gives a testimony today, and let your name be glorified with the testimonies as well, we pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Praise you, Lord. Also, He is Jehovah Jireh. He is a provider. He is the God that supply all our needs. He is the reward of them that diligently seek Him. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. Oh, we praise Your holy name. And we thank You, Lord, out of what You have given us. We want today to give to the work of the Lord. We want to give with gladness, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Oh, we bless You. We thank You, Father. Oh, it's a privilege to give to the work of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And, Lord, we ask You today that You bless the offering, the old that You are supplying. We pray, O Lord, that You bless it. Bless the finances of the church. Let it be an increase and an increase. Oh, let it flow, we pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, that Your name be glorified. And, Lord, we love You, Lord, and we appreciate You. And we thank You, Heavenly Father. Thank You, Lord, for everything that You're doing. And we want to give You all the praise. We want to give You all the glory, all the honor. And this prayer we pray in Jesus' precious and a mighty name. And all God's people said, Amen.
Good morning. We're going to have time for testimonies. I know I have quite an extensive testimony. So, Karen, you're first.
Good morning. I have a testimony this morning also, and I want to praise Jesus, my Savior, and my healer. Amen. And last Sunday, there was a a prayer request or a report that was read from the pulpit about a man who was listening via the webcast from home, and he was healed during a portion of the sermon. I don't remember the exact details, but we were all standing. I believe that we were all standing up here. Anyways, as I was listening to the report, I thought, well, if a man can be healed instantaneously at home while watching the webcast, there's no reason why I can't be healed standing here in the church. So when the prayers, when we were all standing up here, and the prayers again were said for this gentleman, I prayed along with the prayers, but for myself. And I said, Lord, I want healing for my body and for everything that I need healing. And you know what it is. And one of the things that I was specifically thinking about was this ongoing problem that I have with my shoulder and my clavicle and my neck. And I agreed with the prayers. And then, you know, I just went on. And then I didn't really think about it until Tuesday sometime. And I realized that I didn't have any pain at all on Monday. And I have pain in this area every single day. And then I realized I go to the gym every Monday night. And normally it's a real struggle, and I have a lot of limitation in my movement and my ability, a range of motion and stuff. And in my attitude, I had been very, you know, grumpy because of the limitation and the pain. And I had had such an excellent workout on Monday. And so when this suddenly came to me on Tuesday, I realized I was healed. I'm healed. And I haven't had any pain since. So I just want to praise the Lord that He's healed me of this condition or whatever it was in my shoulder. So yay, praise God.
Okay, amen. I've got about three or four testimonies that I know God wants me to share this morning. About, say, 2 months ago, we had a confrontation at work with some of our guys. And it got pretty heated. And the guy that goes to church here with us, Javier, got singled out as being the source to a lot of their problems. And we have a, I think I mentioned it to you, and I think you've heard Javier talk about it. But we have a policy, which is a Cal OSHA policy, that we got to wear the hard hats on the job. And my guys were on a high-profile job down in Concord, not wearing them, you know, could care less, basically, about our policies. And so it came to my attention. I'm tired of talking about the same old thing. So the two main guys, my foreman, I took their trucks from them, and I told them, if you can't follow my policies, the next thing, you're not going to have a job. So, anyway, it was that same night that Javier was at home, and the next morning he gets up to go to work, and all of his tires are slashed on his car. And there's like black shoe polish or whatever they wrote on his garage door. You know, you better watch who you're messing with, you know. And then they wrote all over his car the same thing, all in Spanish. So, you know, needless to say, his wife was upset about that, and he was upset. So what he called me that morning and told me what was going on. He called the police. You know, they take 3 hours to get there. And so I told him, you know, we're going to let God deal with those people. And I'll buy your new tires. So we put new tires back on his car, cleaned everything up. And I took the four old tires that are all slashed. I put them right by my front door on my shop. And I put a little sign there that says, God, would you judge these people that did this cowardly act? Because you know your word says vengeance belongs to you and you will repay. So I put that sign there right over the tires and I left it there. And we can't prove who did it, but we know who did it. You know what I mean? And so a week goes by, and these are guys that we've given the gospel to time and time again. Okay. A week goes by, the one guy's wife has a baby born with all kinds of complications. So the children do pay for the sins of the fathers. That's according to the word. Now, I heard just a week and a half or so ago, he's on his way to Colorado, gets in a car wreck, totals the car. Okay. The other guy is about to lose his house. Got a sheriff's department came by my shop last Friday and gave me paperwork. He's got a $25,000 judgment against him. You know what I mean? That's just the way it is. But that's, you know, but when you're messing with God's people, there is a price that gets paid. And that's the facts. So I was, you know, going to give them the gospel again and you know, for about the, you know, 700th time. But God said, hold your tongue. You know, they've already heard it. And so that was that. Anyway, there is judgment that does fall when you do certain things. Now, I had I met this guy probably this. I'm switching gears now to a different testimony. I met this guy about probably 5-6 months ago. He's a contractor. And he has a house that he's building, a big custom home. And so we, the one contractor that he used before retired. And so I said, you know, I'd like to do this work for you. And I'd like to do all your work. Okay, well, we're going to, you know, I gave him a price. And then, just a second. Did you find that? Okay, don't worry about it. I'll find it. Anyway, this contractor, we wanted to do his work. And so I gave him a price on a house. He says, okay, fine. We're going to give you a shot. And that's been 5 months ago. And then about a month later, he says, I want you to go look at this other job that I have to do too. And I said, oh, okay. So I went to look at it. And this job is in the foothills. And when I went to look at it, it's in the middle of a vineyard. So what it is facility for wine tasting. And I thought, I don't know if I want to do this job. So about 2 months ago, I turned down a little microbrewery and a bar. The guy wanted me to do it. We'd done all his work. He says, I want you to do this little microbrewery and this bar. And so I said to him, I can't do it. Can't do bars, can't do breweries, I just can't do it. So, you know, but this winery, you know, I'm thinking, well, I told this guy I want to do all his work, and he's given me this job, but I didn't really have a lot of peace about it. Now, I actually did a winery, believe it or not, about 9 months ago. But what it was is I got a phone call. Guy says, I got a job for you to do. And I says, okay, I don't even know this guy. He says, it's a garage. Okay, well, give me the dimensions. So I took the dimensions right over the phone, gave him a price, sent my guys out to do the job. And we did the job. And right at the very end of the job, I go to look at it. And then I realize, well, this is a little micro winery. And so we completed the job and we were done. Now, I had no knowledge that I was doing that winery. So this guy called me yesterday and he says, I need you to get started on that winery. I said, okay, sure, we'll be there. And prior to that, a couple days ago, I talked to some people. I said, what do you think about this? Yeah, sure, man, you know, it's okay. You can do winery. I mean, Jesus drank wine and, you know, turned the water into wine and on and on. And, you know, then I think Paul told Timothy, have a little wine for the stomach's sake. So I thought, you know, I'm not serving wine to these people. So I'm going to go ahead and do it. This morning, I couldn't get any peace over this job. And I'm going to do something here for a second. Billy, can you do me a favor? Take these car keys of mine.
Yeah.
Go down to my trunk.
Yeah.
And there is a fur hat in that trunk. And if you could bring it up here to me. Okay. So anyway, I couldn't get no peace over this job. And I asked one of my sons, what do you think? Man, I just don't see there would be a problem with it. And, you know, and I said, well, you know, I've committed to this guy. I should just go ahead and do it. And the market's pretty slim out there. We're in a, you know, what they call a recession. Maybe they're calling it a depression right now. So I kept wrestling with that, and I couldn't get any peace over it in my soul. And I have already my scaffold on this other job, and I don't know this man at all, that really. You know, over time you get to know people, but I don't know him. So this morning I went on a run with my wife, like we usually do, or a walk. You know, we go get up early and go take a walk. That's it. Can you bring that to me? Anyway, so we... thanks. Okay. We take this, we take a walk, and everything's fine. You know, we're picking them up, putting them down. We really hustle out there to get some exercise. And then we go home, and usually we go out and get some breakfast on Sunday morning. So we went to breakfast, and then all of a sudden, my wife gets these hives, I guess, on her legs, very bad. And she's just, and actually she said, feel my leg. I felt her leg. It was like on fire. You could, it was burning up. And so I'm wondering about that, you know. And so in the back of my mind, I've been wrestling with this issue with the winery. And you hear that voice in your mind that says, it's okay, do it. Then you hear that other voice says, don't do it, because you might be trading this 30,000 job for a $300,000 job. Or you might be opening your back door for the devil to sneak in there. So what I did is, on the way here this morning, I called a guy and I told him I can't do that job. Because... And I said, and this might sound strange to you, and I know it's late, I'm supposed to be there tomorrow, I should, but it's an issue that I've been wrestling with. I imagine you might even, I didn't tell him, but I'm thinking in my mind, he's going to say, yeah, okay, get your scaffold off my other job too. So I just told him, I said, I can't do the job. I can't get peace in my soul over it. And I just can't do it. And he said, well, I wish you would have told me a little earlier. I said, yeah, I've been wrestling with it. And he says, well, you know, they don't make the wine in that building. I said, yeah, but they serve the wine there. And he says, okay, well, do you know anybody that can do it? I said, well, there's a lot of plasterers out there looking for work, you know. So I'm sure you'll find someone to do it. Anyway, I couldn't, he says, well, the other job's going to be ready for you soon. And he says, and I understand what you're telling me. Pretty interesting, huh? Okay. So anyway, I got this hat here. I wanted to show you this. Does this look like a beautiful hat? No. To me, I think it looks beautiful. And it looks real good on my wife, because her hair color just flows with it. Okay. So I guess you'd have to see it on. But I'm not putting it on. No. But it's a nice fur hat. And the reason I'm showing you this is about 3 weeks ago, I went to, in the evening with my wife, and we went to shopping around in Grass Valley. Okay. And so we go into this store, and, you know, we're looking at hats. We went into this one hat store, and then we went into this other store, first store. And so we look around, no, nothing that we like, you know. And then she tries this hat on, and, oh, man, that looks good. And it did. To me, she already looks good. But she looked good in this hat. Okay. And her hair and the hat just flowed, and her hair flowed as kind of the colors all went together, you know. And I don't know about you, but I like it when my wife looks good. And and I like to buy things that she likes. So anyway, we got it, and we went around, walked around, got some hot chocolate. We went into this other store. It's the same kind of store with its owned by the same people. So we see this lady there that we've seen before, and we say, hey. She goes, oh, hey, you got that hat? She goes, yeah. She goes, yeah, it's one of a kind. It's handmade. Oh, interesting. And then I said, well, how you been? Oh, I'm fine. You know, we talked a little bit. And what about your daughter? Well, that's not my daughter. Oh, well, we thought you told us it was your daughter. No. And then she got back, she talked about the hat a little bit more. And she said something that caught my ear, but I really, because I wasn't paying a lot of attention. But she said, shaman. Okay. Something about a shaman. And then I thought, And I just didn't give it much more thought, but it stuck in my ear. Okay. So for the last few weeks, I've been hearing that in my mind. Just a little bit here and there. What about that hat? What about that hat? Okay. So this morning, when my wife comes down with these hives and stuff, I'm wondering what's going on here. And so I get home, or on the way home, I said, you know something? I think I should mention to you, when we went to that second store, that lady was talking about your hat being one of a kind. She said the word shaman, but she didn't elaborate on it. She just kind of cut herself short, and I don't even remember how she phrased it. And I said, and so, well, what is a shaman? Well, I don't even really know what a shaman is. Okay. So I get home, I get on the Google, and I type in, what is a shaman? Okay. And so, you know what comes up? A shaman is somebody practicing in the curious arts and into divination. So I think I read a little bit about that, you know, and when you're on Google, you can go here, there, and everywhere and get little bits of information. So then I typed in shaman headdress and started reading about that, and they showed this Indian brave or Indian shaman. Okay. Now, I'm going to leave it here for a second. I'm going to go back further. And normally, I don't air my laundry, but I believe it's beneficial for everybody to hear what I have to say. Many years ago, probably 12 years ago, 15 years ago, when we decorated our house, we had put some kind of a Southwest decor in our house. Okay? And so we had some, we had a couple Indian heads that we had hung on the wall. They were porcelain, you know, art. And then we had some vases that were Indian made. Then we had some pictures of a chief in a full headdress and some braves and squaws and you name it. A lot of that stuff, okay? We liked it. Or we were drawn to it. So about, I'd say 2 months ago, I couldn't, for some reason, and I'm talking of probably 2 years or so, every now and then I would get a little voice saying, you need to get rid of that stuff. Okay? It's not good. It is, and we used to have these little things called dream catchers. They're little circles. Had them in the laundry room, you know. Kind of went with that Southwest decor. And so I just, I'd hear a little voice every now and then say, get rid of that stuff. Get rid of that stuff. It's holding you back. It's something that you shouldn't have. Okay? And I started reading this book right here, Turning Curses into Blessings. This is a good book. So you should read it if you get a chance. And it's been sitting on my coffee table along with a couple other books for probably 6 months. And but it wasn't really this book that did it. It was the hearing the Holy Spirit. So one day, I was at home doing my Bible study and was convicted that I needed to get rid of this stuff. So I cleaned my house. I took down every picture. I took down that artwork of those Indian heads. I took down everything. The beautiful vases that we paid a lot of money for. And destroyed them all. Okay. So, my wife, when she came home, said, I wasn't home. She called me and said, what is going on here? And I said, yeah, I had to clean house a little bit. And I'm not going to tell you the rest of the story. But she wasn't happy. Okay. So I believe that it is the man's responsibility to protect his wife. And I mean, what do you think, ladies? Is your husband's responsibility to protect you? Yeah. So that might mean protecting them even if they don't want it. So, what I when I got home this morning, I said, well, I started my studying about this. And when I typed in the headdress thing, you know what it says? It says, a little segment in there said that the shaman wears this headdress to guide him in the spirit world. And I mean, I don't know all the history about this thing, but I do know a little bit about it, just a little. Enough, but the Holy Spirit knows because he kept bringing it to my mind. Okay? And then it says, a lot of times that they would take and put a little metallic object on the front. And this is called the third eye. This is to guide shamans in the spirit world. This is the third eye. See, it's a spirit guide. And I just learned that this morning. So I told my wife, will read this paragraph. Normally, she won't read anything that I want to show her about stuff like that. But she read it, and what can you say? Once you read it, you heard it. And anyway, that reminded me, I don't know if you ever heard of it, but there's a group called Third Eye Blind. I remembered that rock group. And I heard him, and so it kind of all started to make sense to me. And then there was my sister-in-law that used to come to this church. Her name was Vicky. We call her Joe. Okay. Now, she was my sister-in-law for probably 27 years. And when we first were married, there wasn't any problems with her, okay? My brother-in-law started going to these sweat lodges probably 15 years ago. You know, and smoking dope with the Indians and doing the sweat lodges and doing the drumming. And you know what happened to my sister-in-law? She went crazy. Or so that's what the world would say. She went crazy. Started seeing people following her. Couldn't eat. Thought people were trying to poison her. Couldn't, thought the police were trying to frame her, on and on and on, right? Well, her and my brother-in-law finally got a divorce. This is my wife's brother. And she couldn't trust anybody. My sister-in-law couldn't trust anybody. But I do believe, and I've always believed this, and it's, Pastor John knows, it's my record, that my brother-in-law started messing around and brought home a whole boatload of demons for my sister-in-law. And then, it was probably 3 years ago, somewhere around there, she committed suicide out here on Interstate 80. Of course, they say it was a traffic accident. I know it was suicide. And so anyway, the whole crux of this story is be careful, because if you leave your back door open, the devil's going to slip in there. Actually, he's opening your back door. And I actually warned someone the other day, or I haven't warned him yet, but I thought about it, and I thought, I can see where you left your back door open, man. See, now the devil, some of you, he can't get through the front door. But he's looking for the back door. And when he comes in, or if you give him an inch, he takes a mile. So, when a lot of people do think, when they hear the pastor talk about this, man, that seems a little far out and a little superstitious and a little overkill. But, you know, you, as time goes on, you start to get a grip on it and realize that the occult world is pushing hard. And I actually, when I was going through my web search, I got a little, it talked about the Finnish. And I remember hearing Ina talk a lot about Finland, very heavy in Finland. It was a Finnish rock group that was shamans. So, anyway, I'm taking this back out to my car. Now, I can't get my money back for this either, you know that. It's got to be destroyed, right? But it's beautiful when you can hear the... See, if that one lady didn't mention that little word there, shaman, and God didn't keep bringing it into my mind, this would be working in my house without us even having a clue. You know what I mean? But I like what the Bible said, that we get to crush the head of Satan. So I get to slam the back door today. And if you got problems out there, physical problems, you might see if your back door is open.
We're going to have a prayer time, so why don't you put this down right here on the floor so they can see it on the camera. There you go. Let's stand up. Put your foot on it. In the mighty, powerful name of Jesus, we command that of whatever spirit guides was sent with this garment should immediately be seized, chained, and taken to prison by God's holy angels. We break every curse and we destroy the works of the devil right now. And we pray for Mary Burns, that Father God, you would heal her. She did not walk into this, but that she did this purposely. But this is just the devil coming in. And we thank you that everything will be healed in her body. And there will be no more problems in Jesus' name. And those are our great said. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, praise God. You may be seated for a moment. We're going to have prayer time. You know, this is a Pentecostal church. You never know what's going to happen. Let me save that for next week. Okay. We're going to pray. First of all, I'm very happy. I want to give you a praise report that God was very good to us. You were very good. I want to thank the congregation for helping us to finish 2008 in victory. We were able to pay our obligations, and we praise God for that, and I'm just thanking God for everything He's doing. Next week, I am going to speak. God told me to speak on the Middle East, and we have tremendous happenings there right now. And I'm going to bring out, God has shown me some scriptures and things that I will bring that out next week. So tell people that if they want to know what's going to happen, what is happening right now, I'll be speaking about that. So we got a couple of prayer requests here. We got, I'll read this one here. Pray for Tom Spargo to be able to keep his current job. He was here last week. He's from San Jose. There's a situation in which he's being called to see his boss because he didn't show up at work on a certain day. Tom had made arrangement with a personnel manager to have off that day, but there seems to have been a lack of communication about that. He's being accused with no evidence in writing that they had given him the day off. Then he also had a praise report. He had gone up for prayer here last week, right here, for his heart. And the Lord has healed it. So we're going to pray for Tom. And then we have Carol Jacobs. She is in Hawaii. She used to be our editor. She was with us from about 1979 to about 1995. And she has moved to Hawaii. And she had to bury two of her husbands. So she's a widow now twice. And she had a stroke about 3 years ago, several strokes. And she is in a wheelchair, and she asked that we will, Ina talked to her yesterday, that we will pray for her, that God will get her out of the wheelchair. And then I see a prayer request here for Carl Tate, a prisoner from Illinois, said, pray for me, I struggle with sin. I pray God to take it away from me, but I still struggle with it. I don't want it to be the death of me. So let's come and pray right now for these needs here. And so I'm going to ask Sister Lois if you will pray for Carol when we get to that. And I'm going to ask Soteris then if you will pray for Tom Spargo. And then we have Carl Tate. So can you come up and pray for Carl Tate? Why don't we start out with you?
Father, we lift up Carl, that his request is not something that is unique, but it is common to all of us. And that, Father, you heard his request, and you know the situation that he's in, and the circumstances that he faces on a daily basis. So, Father, we just ask that you, through your Holy Spirit, would just move upon him, that show him through your word the truth of what the solution is that he needs to be. And that is to simply to press in on you, Lord. The Father, he would just be able to, whenever he is tempted, to be able to look at it in the face, turn around, and to come to you in prayer. Because that is where our strength is at. So, Father, we just thank you for just revealing this to him and helping him to power through that. Not in his flesh, but that you supernaturally empowering him to do that. In Jesus' name we pray.
Heavenly Father, we lift up to you Tom Spargo right now. And we pray, O Lord, that you give him favor. Give him favor with God and man. We pray that you give him, that he will be able to keep his job. But at the same time, we pray, O Lord, that you open another door for him. Another door to come to Sacramento, we pray, where he will get a better job and be delivered as well, we pray, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, that your perfect will be done in Tom's life, we pray tonight, at this moment, Lord. And we want to thank you and praise you, Father, that not our will, but thy will be done in that man's life, O Lord, and guide him and direct him, that he will be able to move to Sacramento, go through deliverance, and that he will have victory in his life. And we give you all the praise, the glory, and the honor, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Father God, we lift up Carol Jacobs to you, your servant, Lord. She has served you for many years. She loves you. She's been faithful as a Christian. She's worked with many people, Lord God, and helped them. And she has witnessed to many people and led them to the Lord. Father, she's been a teacher, and she's been a very hard worker. She was our editor, and I worked with her. I was privileged to work with her. And I know what a wonderful woman she is, Lord God. But, Father, it doesn't matter about all that because she's your child. That's what matters. And we are lifting her up today, asking you, Lord, to touch her body, to touch her mind, to touch every part, every cell of her body. And lift her up, Lord God, to perfect health. She had a stroke, but she doesn't need to stay that way. Amen. Father, by Jesus' stripes, she is healed. By Jesus' stripes, she was already healed before it happened. And we are claiming that for her, Lord God, and we are commanding her body in the name of Jesus to line up with the Word of God for every cell to be made whole. Yes. And Father, we know that you can do it because all things are possible with you. And Lord, we just thank you and praise you that it's already done and that it's already happening. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Heavenly Father, as we have this situation in the Middle East where people are dying right now on both sides, we ask you, Father God, that your will shall be done, that you will intervene, Father God. And Lord, we know that we are moving toward the end times. We know that it's going to be a tremendous conflict, there's going to be a great war in the Middle East. But we ask you, Father God, before it is due, that you will hold down the forces of evil and give us time to minister, to preach, to get the gospel out to as many people in the world as possible. That there shall be salvation by the millions among the Muslims, the Buddhists, the Hindus, people in the occult and everywhere around. And we thank you, Father God, that your hand will steady everything. There is no crisis in heaven. And that we can be totally, absolutely secure in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father God, we pray today here. We thank you for the testimonies that we had. We thank you, Father God, for the healing of Karen. We thank you for the discernment when it comes to Thomas. And we pray today, Father God, that you will heal our people that are here today in this building. Heal those that are watching us. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Anoint us and use us. And we give you great praise right now that we are victorious in the Lord Jesus. And we praise you for that now. And all of those that agree and believe this shouted, amen and amen. Praise God. You may be seated. Let's have the outlines handed out.